Ladies and gentlemen, welcome a friend of mine to the stage, the director of the high school ministry here. You will see him in a few years, and you'll see him today, Mr. David Peniel.
That was good. One more time, Harrison Ross. All right. Let's get into it. How to open your Bible and not just point to a random verse. Harrison just sung about it. We're talking about interpretation this morning. And if you weren't here last week, we're right in the middle of a three-part series teaching you how to study your Bible. If you have your Bible, get it out. Open it. If you don't, get out your journal. Get ready to write some things down because I'm going to give you some things that I think will be helpful for you, not just for today or for junior high, but for the rest of your life. If you don't have a journal, open your phone and open your little notes app because you're going to want to write a few things down. Overall in this series, this is, I think, a big point that we hope you guys get, and I'm going to start with this and I'm going to end with this. And that's this, that reading your Bible is boring. That's right, I said it in church. Reading the Bible is boring, but studying the Bible can actually be fun. Now, here's why I say reading the Bible is boring, is because you know it's true. You've tried it before. You've tried to just open up your Bible and start reading it, and some parts might be interesting to you, but other parts, a lot of it, if you're just reading it, is boring. But if you actually study it, and you observe what's actually going on, and then what we're going to talk about today, you interpret what it means, and then next week, if you actually start to apply it to your life, studying the Bible can be super fun. Studying the Bible can be incredible. Studying the Bible can be life-changing. It can give you a foundation on which to live the rest of your life. But if you just open it up and just start reading through it, as many of you have experienced in your life, reading the Bible is boring, but studying it can be really fun. And so we're going to have some fun studying the Bible together this morning. Just an overview of this series, what I already mentioned. Part one last week was observation. This is how you study your Bible. Observation, interpretation, application. Today is interpretation. What does the passage mean? That's the question we're going to teach you how to answer this morning. And then next week, you got to come back to hear about application. What are you going to do? Like, how does it apply to your life once you figure out what a passage says and what a passage means? So, here's what I want to do to start us off today is I want to share with you guys a BuzzFeed article. Has anybody ever been on BuzzFeed before? They've got tons of fun articles, some inappropriate, but this one is completely okay. I found this article the other day, and it's 18 everyday products you've been using wrong. And I'm going to blow y'all's minds this morning because I'm going to share five of them with you. The first one is this. Don't put it up on the screen yet. Have you ever been helping your mom cook or maybe preparing a meal for your family? And you've had a pot and you had like the wooden spoon and you've been stirring the sauce or stirring the soup or whatever it is and you want to take the spoon out. I never know where to put it. I try to put it across the top, but it's dripping over the edge. It's getting in the stove, and then you have to clean the stove later. You either had to get a plate or a napkin and set it on the side. Did you know that every pot comes with a built-in spoon rest? Check this out. Look at this picture. Every pot you have in your house has a hole in the handle, and you never knew why that hole was there. That hole was there, so you slide the spoon into it, and it drips over top. 18 everyday products you've been using wrong. This next one, y'all, one of my favorite things to eat in the whole world is peanut butter. I can eat peanut butter straight out of the jar. I eat almond butter straight out of the jar. I used to, when I was less healthy in my life, pour a bag of M&Ms into a jar of peanut butter and eat till the M&Ms were gone. It's the greatest. But here's my problem with peanut butter is when it gets like halfway or under, I'm having to stick my hand into the jar to get the bottom, and then I get peanut butter all on my hand, and then I'm licking myself. It's disgusting. Did you know that you've been using peanut butter jars wrong? Here's how you're supposed to store your peanut butter jar. Upside down. That way all the peanut butter's at the top when you open it. And you never have to get your hand messy. We've been using it wrong. Mind blown. Number three, check this out. My wife and I have Reynolds Wrap at our house. I've got some Reynolds Wrap up here. This is foil, as you like to call it. And I always have a problem with foil. My wife will be like, hey, we have some leftovers. Will you put them away? And I start to pull it. Oh, my gosh, it falls out. Because it's so annoying. It's supposed to unroll. And then you have this razor sharp thing where you're supposed to slice off your fingers. I just cut myself. I literally just cut myself. Did you know, I'm going to tear this off, that Reynolds Wrap boxes come with little tabs on the end. And you pop, see, I didn't know this. You pop the tabs in, and it creates an anchor to where you can just simply unroll it, and it never comes out. Look at that. Every Reynolds Wrap has tabs. You've been using it wrong. I never knew it. I was using it wrong. I'm bleeding. It's okay. How many people like applesauce? Look, I've got Mott's applesauce. I have the right kind of applesauce, the cinnamon kind. Am I right? But too bad, I don't have a spoon. But did you know that applesauce comes with a spoon? It does. Did you know it? All you have to do is take the lid and you just like, we got a picture up here so you can see it. You just twist it up. Yeah, the lid's made of foil. It's a spoon. And then you open it up and all of a sudden, I'm eating my applesauce. Applesauce comes. Would anybody like the rest of my applesauce? There you go. I just have strep and mono. Last one is this. You want to have fresh breath. You want a Tic Tac. But here's the annoying thing about Tic Tacs is you're shaking it trying to get it out and like it avalanches and you get like 700 Tic Tacs. Look at this picture. The lid of Tic Tacs has a built-in Tic Tac holder and you're supposed to just put one Tic Tac in it and then open it up and look at that. Now I just get one. I don't get an avalanche. Tic Tacs come with a built-in Tic Tac dispenser. Who wants Tic Tac? I've got more! Individual Tic Tacs! Individual Tic Tacs! All right, purple shirt. Hang on. I got two more. Give me that purple shirt, guys. Stand up, purple shirt. I'm gonna try to get this in your mouth. Are you ready? I've got two tries. Purple shirt. If you get this, I give you the whole roll of Reynolds Wrap. Here we go, you ready? Oh, that was terrible. Here we go, one more. Nope, sorry, no Reynolds Wrap for you. Sit down, purple shirt. All right, I've got one more product. All right, you guys ready? Look. Shh, look. Look at this. This is the Holy Bible. And I want you to raise your hand if anybody's ever told you that this is God's love letter to you. Have you ever heard that? All right, hands down. Raise your hand if anybody's ever told you that this is God's handbook for life to show you how to live. It's like the user manual, right? Hands down. Okay? What if the Bible was something different than God's love letter for you? What if it was something different than just a handbook for life? What if you've been using it wrong? What if you've been interpreting what's in the Bible incorrectly? That's what today's message is about, is interpretation. How do you use this product right? Because guess what? You use Tic Tacs wrong, you get your Tic Tacs out the wrong way, and like not the way Tic Tac intended it. That doesn't really make a difference. You use the Reynolds Wrap wrong, you still get Reynolds Wrap. You might get cut a little bit, but you're fine. But you use this wrong, and your eternal destiny could be affected. The way that you are a friend could be affected. The way that you are someday a husband or a wife or a parent could be affected. The way that you are an employee or an employer could be affected. This could affect your entire life. And so you've got to make sure you're using this right. When Paul wrote to a young man, Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, he told him this. He said, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles the word of truth." The Bible tells us that there's a right way and a wrong way to handle the Bible. There's a right way and a wrong way, and we've got to be sure that we are correctly interpreting the Bible. He goes on in chapter 4 to warn Timothy this, that a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching, but they just follow their own desires, and they look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear, and they reject the truth and chase after myths. And we have to be careful, young people, You have to be careful not to be that kind of person that just looks for a teacher that will tell you whatever you want to hear. And then you turn aside from the truth and you're using this wrong and you're following myths. You don't want to build your life on a myth. You want to build your life on truth. So you've got to be able to interpret God's word. And so here's what we're talking about this morning is interpretation. And here's what I'm going to give you. This is what the rest of the message is. I'm going to give you three simple questions today. Three simple questions that can help anyone interpret the correct meaning of any verse in the Bible. Anyone. So it doesn't matter if you're in sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade, you're an adult leader. It doesn't matter if you're like my third grader. If you can read and you understand these three simple questions and how to ask them, it can help you interpret any verse in the whole Bible. Old Testament, New Testament, prophecy, poetry, stories, law, any of it. If you learn how to ask these three questions, you can interpret any verse in the Bible. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you the three questions. Then I think, as Harrison mentioned in the song, we've been encouraging you and your small groups to study the book of 1 John. And so I'm going to give you the three questions, then we're going to go to 1 John chapter 2. I'm going to show you something that's really confusing in that chapter, but we're going to use those three questions to interpret it. So I'm going to show you how to use the three questions. Then I'm going to challenge you to go out and do it on your own with other parts of the Bible. You ready? So here are the three questions. The three questions are this. What does context tell me? What does the context tell me? Number two is, what do cross references tell me? And number three is, what do commentaries tell me? These are the three questions that if you're able to remember these three questions, ask them, find answers to them, you'll be able to interpret any verse, even the most confusing ones, in your Bible. What does the context tell me? What do the cross references tell me? What do commentaries tell me? So I'm going to explain to you what these questions mean, what these things are, and how you can answer them. But first, let's go to 1 John chapter 2. This is the verse we're going to try to interpret this morning. It's just one verse. It's kind of long. 1 John 2, 27. Check it out. John says this to his audience. He says, "You have received the Holy Spirit, and he lives in you." Now, this is the confusing part. Look. "So you don't need anyone to teach you what is true. For the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know. And what he teaches is true. It's not a lie. So just as he's taught you, remain in fellowship with Christ." Now look at that middle part. John says you've received the Holy Spirit. He lives within you, so you don't need anyone to teach you what is true. This is hard to interpret. And I think many people have interpreted this to mean, I don't need anybody to teach me anything because I know God. And so it's just me and God, I'm all on my own. So does this really mean that we don't need anyone to teach us anything? That we have everything we need from the Holy Spirit? And you can say no, but I would challenge you, why? Why? Like, then do you need to cut this verse out of your Bible? Do we need to edit our Bibles? We're going to look at the answer to this question. Do we need to stop listening to the advice and guidance of others? And just to show you where this goes, I want to tell you about a conversation I had Friday night with a college student who used to be in my small group. I've led two small groups from sixth grade through 12th grade. And he was in one of my former small groups, and now he's in college. And he was somebody that left our small group when he was in high school and stopped coming to church. But I maintained a friendship with him, and I got to see him on Friday night. And as we were talking, I asked him, I said, "Hey, have you gotten involved in any churches or ministries up in college?" And here's what he said. He said, "Here's the problem. I want to drink, I want to smoke, and I want to have sex with girls. And I keep going to these churches and these ministries because I also want to be a Christian. And I want to learn more about God. And they keep telling me that those things are wrong. And I can't find a place that will just let me do what I want to do, but also let me call myself a Christian." And he's like, "So I'm having a really hard time, and I keep getting frustrated and mad." And I think part of his problem is that he's believed something like what some people interpret this verse to mean, is that I don't need anyone to teach me and tell me what's right and wrong. I have my relationship with God, you have your relationship with God, and I'm just going to do what I want to do, and you do what you want to do, and let's just kind of live in harmony with one another. But do you think that's good for this guy? Do you think things are going well for him up there? They're not. They're not. And so we need to know how to correctly interpret this, because if we interpret it incorrectly, it can lead to trouble in our lives. So let's ask these three questions about this passage. I'm going to show you how this works, and then hopefully you can copy and paste and apply it to any passage that you're trying to understand. What does context tell me? Let me tell you what context is. Context is what comes before and what comes after. And so you can't just read a verse out of context. That means you just take one verse from the Bible and try to apply it to your life. Try to interpret it on its own. You can never interpret any verse on its own. You have to look what comes before and after it. Let me help you understand it with another phrase. What if I were to come to you and say, it was a ball? Would you know what I meant if I said, it was a ball?
No.
Maybe you would, maybe you wouldn't. Because what if before I said that, I said, guys, the other day I got to swim with a dolphin. And I held on to his fin, and he took me 20 feet underwater. I thought I was going to drown, but I kept holding on, and he shot up out of the water, and I let go and did a backflip, and I landed in the water, and it was a ball. Would that mean that the dolphin was actually a ball?
No.
It meant I had a good time. What if I said, guys, the other day, I put on my tuxedo, I went to the castle, Prince Charming was looking for a wife, and all these girls came in dresses. I actually drove a pumpkin-shaped coach to the party, and there was this girl named Cinderella in the back, and I went in with her, and it was a ball. That would mean it was actually a ball, a party that they call a ball, right? What if I said, I was at the country club, I was walking out in the grass, and I stepped on this round white object, and it was really hard, and it hurt the bottom of my foot. I think it was a ball. That would be a golf ball. Do you understand how you have to have the context to understand what it was a ball meant? You have to have the sentences that come before and after it. You have to know the setting. You have to know who is talking and where they are and what they're doing. You have to do that with the Bible. You can't just take one verse out of context. You have to think about the verses that come before and after it. So let's think about 1 John 2:27. What is the context of this verse that's saying, you don't need anyone to teach you anything? Well, here's the first thing context tells me, is that John is writing a letter, and all he's doing in the whole letter is teaching them things. And so why would he try to teach them something, but then tell them, you don't need anybody to teach you? So the context of the sentence is in the context of teaching. And so the first thing that tells me is, John can't possibly be anti-teaching because all he's doing is teaching. And then I look at verse 26. So you look at the verses before and after it. Look at what verse 26 says. John says, I'm writing these things to you to warn you about those who want to lead you astray. And so the context tells me that John is talking specifically about false teachers, about people that are leading them astray. He's saying, you don't need those kinds of teachers. He tells you, all right, guys, I'm writing you about these specific people that are teaching you the wrong things. You don't need them to teach you. You don't need anything more than what God has given you. And so don't listen to their false teaching. And so the context is really helpful. And this is the first thing you should do when you're trying to interpret a Bible verse, is look at the verses all around it. But then there's another thing. I want to make sure. I want to make sure that I'm not confused. And so the Bible can help you interpret itself, not just with the immediate context, but with the broader context. So that goes to the second question, what do cross-references tell me? Cross-references are other parts of the Bible that aren't in that book that are talking about the same subject. Now, I brought up here with me my study Bible, and your Bible probably has this. When you open it up, you've got the Bible part, and then you have cross-references on the side. These are other verses that talk about the same thing. There's also this website. You should all write this down. I'm going to put it up on the screen, BibleGateway.com. And you can go to BibleGateway.com, and you can type in like any word, and then it'll give you all the verses about that word. And so what I did for this passage is I went to BibleGateway.com, and I typed in teaching, because I wanted to see what else the Bible had to say about teaching. And in the New Testament alone, the word teaching was found 111 times. I'm going to share with you three cross-references that I found really helpful in interpreting 1 John 2:27. Here they are. First one's this, Matthew 28:19-20. This is at the end of Matthew. Jesus has died. He rose again. He's getting ready to fly back up to heaven. This is the last thing he says to his followers. He says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." And then Jesus commands this. And guess what? John, who wrote 1 John, was here when Jesus said it. Jesus said to John and the other disciples, "Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." So Jesus commanded teaching. So John can't possibly be saying in 1 John 2:27 that we shouldn't have teachers because Jesus commanded his disciples to teach. Ephesians 4:11-12 is talking about gifts that God gives to the church. He says, "These are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church and the body of Christ." And so God, his Holy Spirit, has given all of us different gifts, and one of the gifts he's given people is being a teacher and teaching. So teaching is important to God. The cross references tell me that. One more, in case it's not clear, 2 Timothy 4:2. Paul says to Timothy, "Preach the word of God, be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with what? Good teaching." So teaching is fundamental. Teaching is very important. So John can't possibly be telling us you don't need any teachers. So the cross references tell me the teaching is okay. And then lastly, the third question is, what do commentaries tell me? Now, it's very important that you ask these questions in order. I think a lot of lazy people will want to cheat and jump right to what's called commentaries. Commentaries are what other people have said about a passage, explaining it. So I showed you my Bible earlier. This is a great Bible. I would recommend this to all of you. It's called the NLT, which stands for New Living Translation, NLT Parallel Study Bible. NLT Parallel, it's up on the screen, Study Bible. You should write that down. Here's why it's called Parallel, is it has two different commentaries parallel to each other underneath each passage. So you have the NLT Study Bible is in there, and then the Life Application Study Bible is also in there. So it's two study Bibles in one. So this is what I use for my quiet times at home. I brought this from my house. And so it has a commentary. It has an explanation of what the verses mean underneath. But what I want to do is I want to read a verse. I want to look at the context. I want to look at the cross references. Then I want to look at the commentary. Don't skip to the commentary first. Do the work yourself. Study it yourself first. Then see what others have to say. Now, we don't have time to like read all of these commentaries, but I want to briefly show you a few others that I found. Because sometimes the study Bible, it doesn't have notes on every single verse. And so there's other places you can look. So here's the first other place you can look. We're going to put it up on the screen. Look at the top, lumina.bible.org. Write that down, lumina.bible.org. It has the Bible on one side and then Constable's notes. This guy's last name was Constable, and it's his notes on the right-hand side. And this is all his notes just from verse 27. He says, "From this verse, some Christians have concluded that we should not listen to any human teacher. That is not what John said." So look, he's confirming what I found through context and cross-references. And then he goes on to explain it. He wanted his readers to remember the Holy Spirit was the teacher, the ultimate source of illumination. He did not rule out secondary teachers through whom the Holy Spirit works in teaching. If this had been his view, he would not have written this epistle, which he taught his readers. All right, that's what I learned through context. And then he goes on to say, Constable's notes, that his point was that we should not look to other human beings as the ultimate source of his learning. Now, that's new. I didn't find that through my cross-references and context, so this is helpful. And then he says, of course, the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to teach us. John's not saying we should discard our Bibles. Immature believers need human teachers, though they're not completely dependent on them. So this is good, helpful things for me to think about, and then add several other cross-references for me to look up. One other resource, we won't read everything he said, is desiringgod.org. There's a great pastor named John Piper who does commentary on a lot of different verses, and you could go to desiringgod.org, and this stuff that's up on the screen I found through an app that he has. It's called Ask Pastor John. And he answers questions similar to Real Truth Real Quick, like we have at Watermark. So that's just another commentary that you could use. Okay? So now, look, we have just interpreted a confusing verse, 1 John 2:27, by asking three simple questions. All right, what does the context say? What do the cross references say? What do the commentaries tell me? And hopefully you've seen this morning that reading the Bible, while it might be boring, studying the Bible can actually be fun because you can learn something new, you can understand it, and then next week you'll learn how to apply it to your life. So here's my challenge for you as we wrap up. Here's the challenge. This week, you study the rest of 1 John chapter 2. You study 1 John chapter 2 and you ask these three questions about anything you don't understand. What does the context tell me? What do the cross references tell me? And what do commentaries tell me? And you go talk about it and talk about what you learned in your small group this week. Don't miss small group this week. Get everybody there and you'll learn new things from each other. All right, I've got one more product I want to show you. This is a 1-minute video. This is amazing. Your mind's going to be blown. You're going to impress your parents, friends, family, everybody you ever eat out with again. Check this out.
After doing a little hack to it, you can fit twice the amount of ketchup in here. Well, let's get to it and let's see what I'm talking about.
So here you have three buckets, little buckets of like ketchup. You know, there's one, there's two. So that's two little ones. But what if all you have to do is grab it like that and pull it over here and skip one or two, pull it on this one. You see what I'm saying? Skip one or two, pull it right here. Skip one or two, pull it right here. One, two, skip one. And you got this big bucket now. And let's see if we pull this bucket in here and this bucket. You see? We can fit the two buckets of ketchup. And it's one and it's actually easier to dip. So dip your fries and you can eat it. I don't have any fries, but this is a little demonstration. Works perfect.
Isn't that amazing? Now, that guy was kind of dumb. Like, he didn't even bring french fries to his ketchup demonstration. He's dipping his finger. But he was kind of dumb, but he knew something you didn't know. Many of you didn't know. Some of you might have. That you can double the amount of ketchup, and the opening's bigger. You can dip more into it. You can double the amount of ketchup just by doing one little trick. And here's my final point. Listen, I think you could double this week the amount that you get out of God's word when it comes to understanding it and applying it, if you'll ask these three simple questions. You can double your knowledge. You can double your intimacy with God and your walk with Him if you'll just ask these three simple questions as you go through God's word, all right? And so I'm going to give every single one of you one of these cups. As you walk out the doors, they've got them in the back. You've got a ketchup cup to take home, impress your family and friends. Look at how we get double the buckets, all right, and the ketchup. And I would challenge you, after you're done, wash it off or whatever you want to do, use this. Listen, last thing. You can open it all the way up flat. Use this as a bookmark in your Bible to remind you of these three questions that you can get double the truth if you'll just ask these three questions. Let me pray and we'll get you out of here. Lord, I pray that you would help these students not just to open their Bible and try to point to a random verse, but that they would study their Bible cover to cover. And when they come across something they don't understand, they would remember. There's just three questions I have to ask. What does the context tell me? What does the cross references tell me? What do the commentaries tell me? And I pray that your truth would be enlightened and unlocked for them, and they would see that, yes, your Bible is a love letter to them. Yes, it is a guidebook and a handbook for living, but it is ultimately the story of your Son, Jesus Christ, and how he has come to seek and save the lost, how he's come to seek and save us. And there's a message of good news that's on every page of that book that we can share with this world. So would you open our eyes to that as we study your word? In Jesus' name, amen.